Michael, we've often heard it said that one way to contribute to emissions reduction is to stop consuming animal products. But to what extent does consumption of animal products by humans contribute to emissions, and how?
You've probably all heard the classic adage of cow farts. Now, that is definitely part of the story. Livestock do produce significant amounts of methane emissions. So if you look at the Australian emissions spread, 15.2% of Australian emissions in 2008 were due to the agriculture industry, most of which is animal agriculture. But that doesn't fully capture the whole picture for a few reasons. One is it doesn't account for indirect emissions like from deforestation to make room for new grazing land. For example, in Queensland, 93% of land cleared was to make room for more grazing land. Doesn't account for energy production, for animal agriculture, transport. But also, that's over a 100-year time scale, that 15.2%. And so that's looking at the impact of emissions over that time scale. When you look at it over a 20-year time scale, it actually looks more like 50% of emissions from agriculture. And that's because there's a much higher proportion of methane in agriculture than in say other sectors like energy production and transport. And so because methane has a much shorter lived but stronger impact on the environment, reducing the emissions of methane has a much stronger immediate effect.
Oh, I see. So that reducing that 100-year scale of measurement to 20 years takes more account of the methane contribution to emissions. And what's the significance of methane as a greenhouse gas compared to carbon dioxide, which is what we mainly hear about?
Yeah, as I said, methane has a shorter lived effect. It doesn't last as long in the atmosphere on average, but it does have a stronger forcing effect. So the greenhouse effect is much stronger than carbon dioxide.
I did read an article that you sent me from Vegan Australia, which did go through some of that that information you've just given me there. And it also said that if we abolished the use of animals for food, we would slow and eventually reverse global warming. But is that single change really enough? What about all the other contributions to emissions, such as energy production and transport?
Yeah, I think they're all important. It would definitely go a long way. And in my opinion, at least from a personal when you think about what kind of personal change, lifestyle change one can make, I think that's probably the biggest to avoid animal products. But I don't think we're going to get the environmental changes that we want as quickly as we want them by focusing on one sector. I think we have to account for all sectors.
And so, I mean, for example, if I were to not consume animal products rather than, say, give up driving a car, that would have a greater effect potentially than not driving the car.
Yeah, so for emissions, I think that would have a greater impact.
Yeah, so just to clarify also what you've been talking about in terms of the measurement of the contribution of consumption of animal products, that article which I mentioned claimed that 50% of all emissions were due to animal agriculture, whereas an article that I also read that you also sent me from The Guardian gave a figure of 14.5%. So am I right in saying that 14.5% is measured over that 100-year time period?
Most likely, yeah. So there is disagreement about which time scale to use. And when you see those big differences, that's either some disagreement in the carbon accounting or some disagreement in the time scale that they're looking at. And usually the articles won't actually talk about that, which is why people get confused.
And is this type of measurement of emissions from the animal agriculture industry, has that been the subject of fairly rigorous research, and is there a fair amount of unanimity about the results of it?
So for the first part, yes, but not as rigorous as some of the other industries and sectors which get a lot more attention, like fossil fuels and energy production in general and transport. But I think the evidence there is still very strong. I don't think there's good cause to contest that animal agriculture is a leading cause of emissions, if not the leading cause, depending on how you
account. Yeah, which is interesting considering that it's not something that we hear a lot about compared to what we hear about the other causes of emissions, particularly energy production. Why is it that we don't hear so much about this aspect of emissions?
It's a really good question. And in particular, we don't hear it. We almost never hear agriculture discussed in terms of emissions in, say, Parliament and in governments across the world. I think that could be for a few reasons. Food is a big part of our lives. And so I guess anyone suggesting that we should change, say, our diet is a bit more hard to swallow than someone suggesting that we change where we get our energy from.
It's much more personal, isn't it?
Look, I would love to know the answer, because I think that would help us encourage people to make more change or to get some more policy to support this, to say make it easier for people to eat fewer animal products. I don't know if there's a really good answer for that at the moment.
I mean, it sounds simple on the surface. Oh, we just need to, the world just needs to go vegan, and that will go a long way towards solving this climate change problem. But it's such a deep-seated cultural habit in many people. And so is it realistic to imagine that the world is going to go vegan? How would you go about it? How would you go about beginning that?
Yeah, I think it already has begun. When you look at the accessibility of plant-based meat alternative products, vegan fish, vegan eggs, vegan cheese, and all that. When you can just compare that to how the landscape was 20 years ago, we've come a long, long way. Mm. The proportion of vegans is slowly increasing, and I think it's getting more attention in the last few years. So I think the pathway is already underway. There's obviously more that could be done. I don't think we're going to get there overnight, but I think some things, at least from a policy level, that would help this transition would be, for one, to increase education about the effects of the agriculture system on climate change. Mm-hmm. And that could be government-supported to support research and development of plant-based food technology, such as animal product alternatives. There are a number of tax and subsidy incentives for the animal agriculture industry that probably aren't in line with the negative externalities of those industries, which could be changed. And I think last, this needs to be some kind of support system in the future for farmers, animal farmers, say, to transition to either types of farming or other industries where possible, because there really isn't that support at the moment. And we've seen certain in California in particular, dairy industry is struggling because people are just consuming less dairy, and there's no support there for them.
Yes, I've heard that the almond industry is on the up and up because of almond milk. I've also read that beef consumption in Australia is on the decline and vegetarianism is increasing, but also chicken consumption is increasing. Eating more chickens and less cows, is that going to help?
So just to your first point, in the last two or so years, the beef consumption has started to increase again.
Oh, wow.
But that is sort of the trend over the last 20 years. It has decreased a little bit. And yes, we do see that trend as well, not just in Australia and in many places around the world where people were consuming less beef and, say, more chicken or fish or something. So I think that could help from an environmental perspective. But for me, who also is considering the animals involved and their welfare, I think I would rather if people replace their beef consumption with something else, like plant-based products. And also not to forget that even chicken farming is still it is better, but it still is quite an inefficient industry. You need something like 7 to 15 kilograms of grain to get 1 kilogram of chicken meat, for example.
You get a lot of eggs.
Water use involved. Yeah, but even that is relatively inefficient, considering, when we feed, by the time we fed the grain to the chickens and what we could have done with that grain otherwise. I think it's better, but there are even better alternatives.
What do you say to people who, because I've heard this argument a lot, is that a lot of the land that's used for grazing animals at the moment is unsuitable for growing crops, so converting it is not going to help?
So that's certainly true for some of the land. Yeah, so 56% of Australian land is used for grazing at the moment, but only 3.5% of land is actually used to grow plants for humans. So when you look at how much of our calories come from animal products versus plants, really it's not like one is hugely bigger than the other. And so we've started to reduce the proportion of our calories coming from animal products and increase the implants. We wouldn't need that much more land. As I said, with the efficiency, just the amount of land and food and water required, there is a lot of land that wouldn't be suitable for growing crops, but actually we wouldn't need it, I think. So I don't think that's much of an issue.
We've just we just had Australia Day, and a lot of chops and sausages being consumed all over the country. I did read from an article from 2013 by the World Economic Forum, no less, that Australians consume more meat than any other country per capita, 93 kilograms per capita per year, which seems like quite a bit. Australians have one of the highest meat consumptions in the world. Now, I noticed that you mentioned that you were a candidate for the Animal Justice Party. So at that level of policy, what do you suggest, or what sort of suggestions would you be putting forward to the major political parties in terms of what they should be doing on this issue?
Yeah, so just to be clear, so it's for the New South Wales election, not the federal election. States can have their own renewable energy targets, and I think that New South Wales is quite lagging behind on that. And I think that more government investment in renewable energy or in helping to reduce the proportion of animal agriculture as a proportion of our agriculture industry in New South Wales would be an effective way to go, especially because no one's talking about this. So it's a really neglected issue, and I think having an extra voice in Parliament talking about that would be quite impactful. We also have a range. Our main legislative agenda is for animal protection, animal welfare, animal rights. And so we have a range of policies relating to that, such as establishing an office of independent office of animal protection, banning battery hen cages. But we were very, very supportive of any measure to reduce our environmental impacts, especially deforestation. I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but animal agriculture is a leading cause of deforestation in Australia, in particular Queensland, but across the country as well. And so a lot of habitats are under threat for native animals, such as koalas, because of that deforestation, as well as the emissions caused by that deforestation. So looking to protect forests and encourage reforestation where possible as well.
And just finally, where can people go if they want to find out more about the impact of animal agriculture and consumption on climate change?
One of the classic studies, I wouldn't say it's so accessible maybe for the general reader, but if you're interested in more of the details, I would recommend it, is Livestock's Long Shadow. It's a bit of an old report now, but still relevant. It was 2006 by the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, I believe. More recently, if people are looking for Australian relevant information, Vegan Australia is a really good website, has a lot of information about transitioning to a more plant-based agriculture system. And if people want to know more about the Animal Justice Party policies, they can go to animaljusticeparty.org.
All right, Michael, thanks very much for talking to Radio Adelaide.
Thanks very much, Greg.